Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest moments of the Brian Kilmeade Show. This is Black Friday. So in my image, you're driving to the mall and you're looking for a space and you're saying to yourself, it's so cold right now. Is it too far to walk or am I better off just buzzing around? While you're doing that, why not just take in this whole hour of this show? John Chris, one of the funniest comedians out there. If you're not watching him on Instagram, you're watching him on stage on a special on YouTube. He joined us in studio two separate times. And Eric said again, Brian, remind me, we're going to make this a best of show. And I said, Eric, John Christ, remember? And he said, yeah, I'll roll it now.
Hey, Coach, is there anything you want to change?
I mean, I don't know what you want me to tell that. Everybody's like, football is a team game, okay? It's not a team game, okay? I did my part, all right? I put in a great game plan. I mean, these players, they're horrible. My players are no good. I mean, everybody's like, no excuses. No, I got, you know what? I got 22 excuses, 11 on my offense and 11 on my defense. Our offensive coordinator is terrible. He gets half of his plays off of Madden rookie mode. I mean, the guy is no good. In our offensive line, it's like Obama's immigration policy. Let everybody through. Do we have a chance next week? No, we don't. We're 0-8. We're not good at football. Tried to recruit bigger, better players to come play for us, but they went to good schools. I mean, they're all talking in the locker room like, we're a team, we're in this together, no matter what happens, we're together. Like, not me, dude, I'm out of here. This team's terrible.
That is the uninspirational words of John Christ.
There you go.
One of America's hottest comedians. Nice enough to come here before coming by One Nation, which is going to air Saturday at 8.
Hey, don't downplay this. Don't say that's the main thing. This is the main thing.
So you're worried that I'm going to put down my own show.
Yeah, you go, hey, he's coming for Fox 8, but he's like, this is the charity appearance.
If we were not live, I'd redo the whole open.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah,
we are live. Okay. Heard around the country, around the world. John, it's great to see you. To research your role, I've never had such a great time.
There you go.
Because you're all over YouTube.
Yeah.
You're all over this thing called the internet, which I think is here to stay.
Thanks to Al Gore.
Right, thanks to Al Gore.
Yeah.
It was before that we had no way to communicate.
Nah, I don't know.
I had a word processor.
That's like comedies, like back in the Bible times, if something was like those stories, you just had to tell them.
Right.
To the next generation.
Not anymore.
You just had to tell them.
Right.
And you go, I don't know. This is what happened to granddad. And that just,
right.
Not anymore.
Well, that's how we got the Bible. It was like word of mouth for a few hundred years, right?
You just had to write, like, remember the story.
Right. And now, do you think we even got close to the real stories? Because your dad's a pastor.
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, the names have been changed?
Well, so, like, if you did, hey, John Christ does this football coach joke, and we didn't watch it, you told it at lunch.
Yes.
I would be like, no.
It's not going to work.
That's not good.
Right.
That's not how
because
it is
you're not,
at all.
Number one, you're not John Christ.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I should learn.
You butchered it. You butchered it, absolutely. Funny thing about that video is that ESPN actually ran it on SportsCenter, but they took out the Obama joke.
You're kidding me.
Hey, can we have rights to use this? And I go, absolutely. And they took that joke out.
What year was that? Was he in the office at the time?
That was 2018. They took it out.
But isn't that show exactly what they do?
Well, that's why comedy is so amazing. Comedy is so strong right now because you go, that's not right. Like you listen, like during COVID and everybody's separated in their own homes and they would tell you, go, but you didn't have anyone else to like be like, yeah, that seems what you're just by yourself.
Right.
And they could just, they were like,
and you're watching Anthony Fauci, you go, whatever you do, don't wear a mask.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're never going to get vaccine in time.
Yeah.
And this virus is never going to be a problem here.
Yeah.
And you're thinking to yourself, does he not remember that we were watching him early?
Yeah. That's what I say. They're like, what do you think? How's comedy doing? I was like, dude, we got so many great comedians. We got Kevin Hart, Dave Chappelle, Anthony Fauci. Like this guy, that's what I always say in my show. Guy's hilarious, dude.
Well, he is, but a lot of people are laughing. They worship at the altar of Fauci.
I mean, how can you say it's tough to be a comedian? I mean, it's just, all you have to do is just watch the news. It's unbelievable.
But see, I agree with you, but also I heard it's tough to be a comedian now. When you see Dave Chappelle, many people think he's the gold standard in your business.
Yeah.
And they're attacking him on stage, tried to cancel him. Problem is, he can't be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're attacking him on stage. They're still, I see like established comedians saying, I got to talk to Dave Chappelle about getting right about transsexuals. So, do you look at that and say, I better start lifting because people are going to take a run at me?
I better start lifting weights?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I got to survive. Or do you change your comedy?
Well, the only time people are ever offended is at truth.
Right.
I mean, that's just a fact. You know, if it's not true,
It's not funny.
And it's not like people say stuff about me. It's untrue on the internet. It goes, like you think the comedians have all the power. The comedians have no power. The audience has all the power. So if you say something, they don't laugh. you're done.
Well, wasn't it a month ago where Dave Chappelle had sold out a famous arena in Minneapolis?
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, we're going to cancel him.
Yeah.
Well, and then he just sold out across town.
Yeah, I think he's doing just fine. Yeah. What the left doesn't understand is they played into his hand of cards perfectly. Like, they did exactly what he was hoping they would do. It's right. Like, go, I'm going to quit Netflix. You're going to quit your job? Okay. And then all the, he has no social media.
Right.
And he's just, they're just carrying his message. And everybody goes, oh, you're going to shut that down? Like when they, so I think that one of the most powerful things that helped Trump is when they took him off Twitter. Because people go, wait, what's he have to say? Like if you shut somebody's like voice, that's why comedy is so strong. You just come in there, make a joke, and everybody just goes nuts.
And they took him off Facebook.
Yeah.
And they say you could take the most powerful person. And by the way, other leaders who hated Trump.
Yeah.
were blown away that they did that.
Yes.
And then
there you go. Well, that's concerning. Yeah.
So we have Dan Bongino on the show, and Rumble once went public.
Okay.
It's now Rumble, you go on. They have this own infrastructure.
Yeah.
So now people are saying, okay, now you can't cancel me.
Yeah.
I have my own infrastructure there.
Yeah.
So go ahead and try. So I think that alerted a lot of people.
And if you, like, you don't understand how big these, like, you're like, oh, like, NASCAR, no one goes to it. I'm like, I'm going to the race this weekend. There's 225,000 people. We're like, no one, like Jason Aldean, like he's washed up. I go, dude,
right.
He just sold 75,000. Like you think this is like a fringe group. It's not. That's what's wild about, they're like, oh, these like hillbillies. I go, well, not really. Not really.
John Crist is here, outstanding comedian. You can follow him on Twitter.
That would be the first thing I'll promote.
At John B. Crist. Okay. But John, you have a whole bunch of appearances coming up, don't you?
We are all across the country. I was just telling you before the break that it's like with Fayetteville, North Carolina. I mean, we were doing 50, 60 shows in the spring, but they're all full. If they're not full, they got tickets left, but they're all like.
When did that happen for you?
Like 2019.
Right before the pandemic.
Yeah. That's what, like 2018 is when people started, like, I go to the airport and they're like, what's up? And you're like, wait, what? And they're like, we saw your video. And then you go, oh. And what's great about that
is... video was special, or was it your YouTube
videos? There's some multiple videos. The football one was one of them. But yeah, there's a football one, the Disney one, a lot of the videos that you go, oh, I know that guy. And then you start to have, you're like a recognizable. And then you don't, I mean, I guess we have the social media that could ban us, but those once you ban someone, once you silence someone, everybody goes, I want to hear, why did you ban him? Like that you think the banning is like going to silence somebody, but it's in 9 times out of 10 it does the opposite.
So the John Crist in 2019 is not politically correct in 2022. Have not changed anything.
No,
did you think
same.
For a while you had to when you were watching
maybe, but then you realized the more you say it, the more people are like unified under it. And then you don't have any, like, it's why if you have like a Netflix special, Netflix can remove you.
Yeah.
But if you just go direct, social media, just go direct to the people. And so, they, like, I don't have a boss that could, you have a boss that can fire you. Maybe not.
Right. Yeah. I'm too powerful.
You own
too
this
big,
place. Yeah.
Right?
Let's go. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And they're watching on Fox Nation now. So I'm screwed for
Fox
going
Nation.
Along with it. Thank you.
You and Gutfeld, you're unfireable. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I think Gutfeld's
fireable. Yeah. He's fireable. 100%.
Yeah.
Night might be his last.
Right.
Yeah.
Except for the ratings keep going up and the demo. Is that valuable when young people watch?
Yeah. When you say, hey, I walk down the street and they go, oh, that's the guy from TikTok. I go, like, it was like everybody, like my mom's on Facebook, like a big Facebook is my biggest social media. But then everybody goes, that's the guy from TikTok. I go, all right, I guess I'm the guy from TikTok.
What is your view on TikTok? We're going to talk about this on television, which is almost as important as radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
But what's your view on TikTok? Because knowing that China's taking all your information.
Yeah.
And are they, do you think China's behind us doing the silliest things possible that are oftentimes dangerous?
Does it
worry you?
A little bit. Well, the information, what worries about me is the algorithm is so dedicated to you that you might not see what's going on elsewhere.
Right.
And you're only getting what they think you, it's like an echo chamber.
Right.
But they don't, with silencing people, I made a joke. I was on the first tee box at the golf course on July 1st, and I hit the ball, and my joke was, Pride Month is over, I can finally hit the ball straight again. which is a joke.
Fantastic.
And then, but they took it down.
They took it down.
Yeah.
Because TikTok did.
TikTok removed it. But you're making fun of like maybe the backwoods. I can't believe like.
Right.
But they don't understand how sarcasm
works.
The algorithm doesn't understand that.
So you don't think it's someone in Beijing who said, we have
to. I mean, that would be tough. But if somebody's in charge of it, and it's not going good. It's
right.
Not, if you said, hey, the future of our nation, and you showed what's going on TikTok, you're like, well, this is not good.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like Jackass.
Yeah.
In very short bursts.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that on a medium.
No, there's a lot going on over there that's easy to make fun of. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have no problem going on, even though you're a red, white, and blue guy, you have no problem going on.
That's how you say that? You're a red, white, and blue guy? That's like the terminology that you guys use? Yeah, I like that. I'm a red, white, and blue guy.
How about patriotic?
Okay.
You're very judgmental.
I'm a red, white, and blue guy.
Okay.
I just never heard that before.
Really?
Yeah.
Will you promise to use it on stage with that? And
you know, like how Jesus, when they're trying to figure out who the other Christians were, he drew like half of a fish, and then the other guy would draw the other half, and then they knew. That's how they knew he was on the team.
Really?
I got to go to like family reunion. We're like, hey, dude, are you a red, white, blue guy? That's how you know he's on the team. Yeah, I like that.
Well, you know, some people get as challenging as they set you off. By having a flag.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of weird?
I don't know when that happened.
Because you're in Nashville, you probably don't know anything about that.
No, I know that. Yeah, I don't know when that happened. When it was like the
it's
like,
a trigger.
Yeah, which like I always say like, hey, go. We've been on a bunch of like mission trips for our church everywhere, and I go, well, like a comic would just be like, well. In terms of supply and demand, I think everyone's trying to come to this one. I think the immigration, the border is from that one to this one.
Yes.
Not to leave.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to come here.
There's a reason.
Yeah, that's a reason.
I thought so. The people that are born here are the biggest critics suddenly.
Yeah.
So, John, people should know a little bit about you.
Yeah.
Third
out of eight kids.
When did you realize you were not the favorite?
You know what? I got fired from Chick-fil-A. That was the only place we were allowed to work.
And?
Because
they were closed on Sunday?
Yeah, no, they were closed on Sunday. We were very, obviously very Christian, very religious. My dad's a pastor, so the McDonald's, Burger King was right in there. We have nothing to do with that.
Right.
Heathen establishment.
I was saying,
you go in there, Chick-fil-A.
I never drove past McDonald's, Burger King and thought to myself, godless.
No, yeah.
That's what you thought?
Yeah, no, that's what my parents thought. Yeah, 100%. Right. Yeah, they pray for your food.
So did they think you're funny? Did they push for you to be?
No. No parent would ever be like, I want my son to be a comedian.
Right.
It takes like years down the road, and then they see you're like, oh, he's got like a Range Rover now. Like, how did he get that?
Right.
And they still like, I'm like sold out shows from like coast to coast, and my dad would still like, I leave the house, he'd give me like $20 to get a nice like
really?
Fill your car up with gas, son. But that's what a comedian is great at. Is like a comedian is supposed to be like an everyman.
Right.
Like Kevin Hart is like. That guy flies private. He has security. But if you saw Kevin Hart, you'd be like, what's up, dude?
Right.
He's like your buddy.
Is he acting? Or does he know where he came from? So no matter how rich you get.
Every comic, no comic is too confident because it one bad set. And that.
Right.
It's not like an athlete or a musician. They can be up there. They don't need the crowd.
Yeah, Brady played bad this week.
Yeah.
You know, he'll come back next week.
Yeah, but if comics getting too confident and walking out on stage like you own the place, it's over.
And do you ever catch yourself too?
Yeah.
After a big night and two, the third night you go out and you're thinking to yourself, and dial it back?
No, it's not. Well, it's like playing for your home. If you did an appearance,
right?
These are your people. But then you're like, hey, I'm going to like, there was my buddy Andrew Schultz who's a comedian. And I had the 6 o'clock show sold out. He had the 8 o'clock show sold out. He's a buddy of mine. He goes, hey, stay for the 8 o'clock and come on my show. So like 6 o'clock, I'm getting carried out of there with, you know, into the streets, they're chanting my name. And then they don't know me
right
at the other one. And it's just different. it's just a little different.
Absolutely.
They go, here's this guy. And they go, what's his name?
Right. How many years did it take you before you didn't really want that $20 from your dad?
I still want it. Don't
you
get me wrong. I still want the $20.
You put it away in the same place?
Yeah. I mean, it took probably, I started in 2009, 2018, so 10 years. Yeah.
Right.
Then you started to be like, oh, I think I might be able to do it. But You're the same. I'm guessing if you had $1 billion, what would you be doing tomorrow?
The same thing.
That's what made me the same. It's like you're more passionate about.
I might leave a little earlier. I might not do John Roberts.
Yeah. You would still do the radio. You cut the TV, but keep the radio.
Now I do. Yeah, now that you've had me, you've changed my mind on so many things. John Chris is going to be here for one more segment.
Yeah, all right.
And we'll see how it goes afterwards. And we'll see. We'll talk about the break. Do you have any idea what we're going to talk about in the break?
I do not. You didn't prep me.
Okay. Maybe we should. Remember Letterman,
the coffee table.
Letterman said, I know. Letterman said he never talked to anyone in the break. They said it unnerved people, but he didn't want to talk to people.
Are you going to leave?
No, I'm going to stay.
Oh, and we're not going to talk to each other? We're sitting 4 feet from each other? We're not going to say a word to each other?
We'll see how it goes.
All right. Play by ear.
Back in a moment.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, sponsored by Crunch Fitness. Interested in owning your own business in a growing $30 billion industry? Check out Crunch Fitness at crunch.com. More of The Brian Kilmeade Show coming up.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
You know, Bud Friedman just died. He was 90 years old. He had all the improvs. And then they put the improv on television. I had the improv on television and it changed everything. You know, you heard about Richard Pryor and David Letterman and becoming big stars from the comedy clubs. And then the comedy clubs got big and they started televising them and they looked at the comedy, the stand-up, and they said, we're going to get you a sitcom. Well, now the comedy clubs are great, but they're not necessarily new. And that's where great comedians go when people go for to be entertained. I get it. But sitcoms aren't hot right now. So when John Chris comes out with this formula, I'm not saying he invented it, but he's certainly thriving on it, where he's able to go on YouTube, do these interstitials on Instagram and YouTube, do his specials, post it himself, make all the profit on the clicks. Then you say to yourself, I cut out Hollywood. I cut out the production companies. I don't need a sitcom. People aren't really watching network TV. So John Chris changed with the times. And now if the guy goes and wants to sell out an arena, he does that through his social media. He is his force, so to speak. He can be his own production house, his own marketing firm, his own publicity. And he earned it. This is all earned. If he's not getting clicks, if he's not getting followers, then he's not going to get the people in the seats. But that's what he's doing. That's why I think his book is going to do extremely well, not going through traditional ways. Although, as you know, he's been on One Nation twice. One Nation airs at 8 and 11 o'clock every Saturday night. So that's pretty cool. So I know you like the beginning of John Christ. Now I think you want to learn a little bit more about John Christ, who is an outstanding comedian with a big, big religious background, grew up in a church, and he grew up with his dad as a pastor, and he decided to incorporate that into his act. This is Brian Kilmeade Show, Black Friday. Thanks so much for listening. More John Christ in a moment.
Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, John Christ is back in studio. You're smart enough to have gotten Fox Nation. He's a comedian, commentator. He's got this rich religious knowledge. Because his dad was a minister, a pastor, right?
Religious knowledge. It's not a degree or anything, but I just spent a lot of time in church, yeah.
You do. Yeah. And you said you had, this is
I'll
interesting.
Take that.
This is interesting. I spent, my whole family was going from field to field.
Yeah.
Your whole family, how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Seven.
Right.
Yeah.
You didn't want to ballpark it.
I know exactly seven.
You know exactly.
Yeah,
pretty, yeah. You spent a lot of time in church, right?
Yeah, a lot of
you loved it.
Loved it. Yeah, the growing up in church is the best. You know, the one thing I always taught you, of course, don't murder, don't steal. And the third commandment was don't get a massage in the airport.
What
they said.
That's not true. Listen,
that's in the Bible. Well, that is in the Bible. Has to be.
I did not know that early man was that savvy about what the Wright brothers were able to pull off
in putting
together flight.
Yeah.
No, but you don't get a massage in the airport.
No, dude. Well, you know, all right, if you ever like go, you're out of town.
I'm not naked in the airport. I just go in the machine. I'm not
naked
in the chair.
They do have the naked ones.
That's crazy.
In Dallas, Fort Worth, they have one.
Go in the back room, get naked, get a massage.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
Well, all right. So if you're out of town in like a new city where you go on tour, right? So you're in, where are you going? In Tulsa?
Yeah.
Oklahoma City?
And Brandon, Mississippi.
Okay. What you can't do is just Google massage and go there.
Right.
You cannot do that.
Do not do that? Because?
No. There you're going to be on the news in the morning. You cannot. You got to look up a reputable place, like go to a hotel that has like a spa, or like you can't just be out here just.
I guess this is my reputation. My family kind of sets me up. Okay. They know I like to get a massage, and they'll get a massage. And then when I tell them I'm going to get a massage, like, oh, okay, hot shot.
Go take
care of yourself. I'll handle everything. You go get your massage. I'm like, wait, didn't you buy this for me?
Okay, ratings are well, dude. Right? I'm getting a massage, dude.
Right.
Yeah.
And if I get this, I go to that franchise, Massage Envy.
Yeah, see, go to a franchise. go to one to like, oh, I know of that one. Not the one where it's 2 a.m. just blinking massage.
No.
Do not go to that one.
See, this is a reputable one.
Yeah, Massage Envy's good.
They file their taxes and everything.
Yeah.
But I envy anyone that can get an appointment, because every time I call a massage, they're like, you have to make an appointment way ahead of time. But my schedule doesn't reflect
that. Who's working for you? I mean, you can't get this guy. Drop some names.
These don't work for me. They work
with me. Brian Kilmeade's coming through.
The people that work for you, John Crist.
Yeah.
Like Enterprises? Are you Enterprises?
John Crist Entertainment.
Entertainment?
I like John Crist Enterprises. That sounds better, though.
Do you want to change it?
It sounds like there's multiple things. It's not just me posting on
TikTok.
It's
got everything. John Crist Enterprises is
not just the guy posting on TikTok in the airport.
All right, so we play the airport one. Should we do the NASCAR one? Or do you not think that NASCAR is funny?
No, I mean, they are
right
all
here,
hilarious.
Dude. I'm right here.
He's right there.
What do you mean? You don't think it's funny?
Well, she'd be honest. She's honest with you.
She goes, nah, this one's not that funny.
No, I pulled all of the very funny. They're all great, but as far as working for radio. No, they're all fantastic, just...
They got to work for radio. That's right.
No, but it's edited down. So it's like what you would, I mean, John can probably pitch it.
Because we've already played the soccer golf, which is fantastic. The Irritated Weatherman, which I think is awesome.
I mean, I got thousands of them, but yeah.
So do you mean you just have an idea, you just do it, and you almost forget about it?
Once I press publish, it's kind of, I'm already on to the, sometimes I see them, but somebody goes, that's my favorite video. I go, I forgot I made that.
Wow.
It just makes so many videos.
All right, we'll forget about video. I'm going to have you comment on what's going on.
Oh,
you know what I'm
going
to have him do? I think it's a great idea, which you should have come up with, Allison. I shouldn't have come up with my own.
Yep.
Who pulled the Shaq? Who pulled the Shaq tape?
That was me.
That was you. Okay, great. So what do you do? And this is going to be your problem when you have children.
Yep, okay.
You're so famous and you're so rich.
Yeah.
What how are your kids going to grow up not being entitled?
Yeah.
Listen to how Shaq, who's very similar to you, been compared to him.
Okay.
This is how he handles it. Cut 39.
Because I believe in respectable nepotism. You know, I was with the Miami Heat one day and an article came out. The grandmother leaves the son $250 million, right? So I didn't think nothing of it because it's a rich family. So I go in the locker room one day to shoot, and this kid's on his knees scrubbing the bathroom floor. And I'm looking at him like, hey, man, didn't your grandmother just give you $250 million? Yeah, but Dad wants me to start from the bottom. So he had to do that. He was picking up jocks, and he was, you know, he started in the marketing department, and now I think he's the vice president. Once I saw that, I was like, you know what? That right there is respectable nepotism. Because the kid went to Duke. His grandma gave him $250. He could have been like, I'm not doing anything. But his dad said, nope, you start from the bottom. So that's what I also teach my kids.
So how do you feel about this? Is that responsible?
I mean, that's not really starting from the bottom. There's like a huge net below. That's not...
Like the G League would be truly starting from the bottom.
But you got to try out. Yeah. Some guys are like in Rucker Park. That's the...
You clean the court in Rucker Park.
Yeah, and if he's like, I don't want to do this anymore, he's like, I know I got... Because you have... When I started comedy, I say it's like the aircraft carrier. I had a 9-to-5 job, and then you go... You know, when it goes and then it's almost hits the water and then it.
Right.
That's a $250 million net is like,
but John,
give it a shot.
Okay, how about this scenario? Your dad's not a pastor, he's a comedian. He's Robin Williams.
Okay, my dad's Robin Williams.
You want to be.
Can you pick a live comedian? My goodness.
Jerry Seinfeld.
All right, there you go.
So he was good, though, right?
Yeah, he's great. Yeah, one of the prolific. Yeah.
So your dad's a comedian, you start working your way up.
Yeah.
But your dad owns a club, too.
Yeah. So and he owns a club?
He owns a club.
Yeah.
Does John Crist Jr. not go to the club?
No, he goes to the club. I would say my dad would probably make me go by a different name.
Oh,
so
he
I'm
would.
Not like no, I'm not like Robin Williams Jr.
Right.
I just got you were like your name's Scott. And then the crowd will know.
Scott Crist.
Yeah.
Because your dad would never name someone Scott.
But a lot of those guys, a lot of those like NASCAR drivers and stuff like that, like they're a junior. Ricky Stenhouse Jr.
Yeah.
You know,
Allenser Jr.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. Because what do their dads do? Drive.
Yes.
They drove. So as soon as they get in that car, they're miles ahead of the guy that his dad didn't drive because they know they've seen it. They know what success looks like.
Because you can't pretend, Shaq can't pretend he's not ridiculously rich. He also, and, by the way, he is Enterprises. He does everything.
He is. Shaq is Enterprises. You see him on TV every other commercial.
But and he's good. He's like, great. These are semi-entertaining commercials.
But the worst, I would say the worst is when the nepotism and the kid is like not good.
That's bad.
Like Michael Jordan Jr. is like, like he's not good.
I know.
That's even worse because you're like, I just wish I was just like a guy like trying to play basketball.
You know, I heard Gaddafi's son wanted to be. I
know. Wanted to be a what?
You want to write this down? So Gaddafi's son wanted to be a pro soccer.
You know how
player.
We were doing like entertainment and sports, and now you're just like okay.
So Gaddafi's son wanted to be a soccer player. I'm going, wait a second.
Okay.
He was at his dictator best. Like this was Gaddafi before before he was killed by his people.
At his height. Yeah.
So his son was, and they're like, can someone tell? Can we tell his dad he's terrible?
Oh, he wasn't good.
He wasn't good. Oh, I mean, better than the average. He's better than club ball.
Yeah,
but he should not have been playing pro. But they kept him on the team.
You got to keep him on the
team.
You
got to keep the dictator's son on the team.
Yeah, if it's in your country, right? You're keeping him. I bet, dude.
You don't even think the analogy works because
if he goes, I would just imagine him going to like the rival countries,
right?
And, dude, the hell that those other crowds would give him.
Right.
Could you imagine?
He would have to be as
real. This is a real story?
Oh, yeah. Gaddafi's son was pro, and he was just he should not have been a pro.
You're like, dude, you can't stand.
And you know a lot about sports. You did not know this?
No, I did not know that. That's unbelievable.
Are you not a soccer fan?
I'm a U.S. soccer fan.
Right.
Nashville SC and obviously the World Cup teams.
Hey, Nashville FC does well, right?
Huge. We just qualified for the playoffs. How did you know that?
Is this your first year?
What are the call letters of the Nashville station?
We don't have one.
Oh, we don't have one. You're out of that one. Are you fair on that one? Yeah.
Not only that.
That was the most impressive thing last time. He knew everybody.
Right. I will say this. It hurts that you brought that up that I'm not on Nashville because
we'll get you in there.
How do you do that?
It's all your people down there.
I know. You would think that they'd be begging me.
You know what our people are? You remember this from last time? You know what our people are? You know what you called me? You remember that?
What did I call you?
Big red, white, and blue guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I like that?
I took that. I've been using it
the
last 2 weeks.
So you write in your book, and I haven't through all of it yet. But you writing your book that's not out yet. About 100 pages.
Okay. So I saw you reading it at the break.
But it's not out. It's not out yet.
No, it's out next week, 17th.
Right. And they handed it to you on the set.
It's on
preview.
That's the first time I ever saw it.
So
got it before me.
Should I not talk about? Do you care if I talk about some stuff in the book?
We're already in it. I mean, you can't. Yeah.
I could back out now.
We can
roll a commercial.
Let's go to commercial.
All right. How about this?
So you can talk about anything you want.
I did not know you needed to see somebody else. Do religion on stage in Los Angeles at the Comedy Magic Club for you to call in.
True.
What your background, your religious background, you thought to yourself, in Los Angeles, I'm not going to bring up religion. No one's going to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So tell me, this woman's killing. And she's talking about Moses and the burning bush.
Yes.
Why was that a revelation for you?
Okay, because I grew up in church, and I always thought we were like a sequestered community. Like we would drive to our church, and we would pass 20 churches on the way. And my parents like,
Don't
even look at them. Like, hey, they have that youth group has pizza. Don't even. We're not even.
Yeah.
They raised their hands over there. We don't. Nah, we're going to ours. Right.
And
you were just. I was homeschooled, very sheltered. So I started telling these jokes about growing up in church. Like I would do a joke like, just because your kid's named a Bible name doesn't mean he's going to be a good kid. Because I'm pretty sure in sixth grade a kid named Jesus stole my bike. Everybody, if you don't have to be a Christian to
know
that.
And you were worried that no one's going to have the fundamentals.
Yeah, but then, I mean, if you go outside, if you go down in New York City, would everybody know who David and Goliath is?
Sure.
Yes. Would everybody know the Christians meet on Sunday morning?
Sure.
And go and give money?
Right. And 70 million Christians in this country, so you figure the odds are good.
And now you go up maybe in I'm in New Jersey this weekend. It'll be a little like you're not going to do a Father Abraham joke like you would down in Birmingham, Alabama.
Right.
It's more of a tradition down there. But I thought in L.A., you know, these people are
Comedy Magic Club.
Yeah. And I go, there's no way. And this girl was doing a joke about Moses. And you say it in a way like if you go to like a I mean, there's, you know, black comedy shows, Muslim comedy shows, gay comedy shows, Middle East. There's a lot of themes of comedy shows. And if you weren't that specific market,
right.
you wouldn't love it, but you would get it.
Right.
For the most part.
And that was a revelation because then you started, instead of starting to say funny stuff, you wanted funny stuff about you.
About
you
me.
You heard Seinfeld talking on an interview and said the thing that's going to make you unique is talking about your story.
That's it, like Jim Gaffigan has a bit about you know, growing up Catholic, having six kids and trying to steal cake at night when his kids are sleeping. No one can steal that.
Right.
That's his joke.
Yeah.
So if I talk about being homeschooled and working at Chick-fil-A, like, you can't steal that. You're like, that's John's joke.
Because you lived it.
You lived it. And you speak directly from your perspective. And then I just started doubling down. I'm going to talk about, and that's when my career took off.
And did it help you? Does it help you become a better person as you, like, as you expose yourself to the audience? That gains an attachment to the audience. I feel 100%. Like they know you, right?
They go, yeah, there's a lot of guys that I see that are like, just joke. And be like, we don't know him. Like, I bet when right. people see you on the street, they, like, hug you.
Right.
And you're like, yo, I don't.
I'm not a big hugger. I'm half Irish, half Italian.
It kind of goes both ways because you love massages but don't like hugs. So I'm going to call you. Right. I'm going to call you on that one. I'm living a double life.
Yeah. How do I do this? How am I pulling this off?
I don't like physical touch at all. I'm going to go get a massage. No hugs.
I have to get in touch with myself because I don't even realize how I really feel.
Yeah. You don't know. Yeah. I was like, well, I heard the last time you got a massage, you started crying in there.
That is not true. And I know that's not true because. My masseuses, what is plural for masseuses? Masai?
She's not saying a word, dude. Right. She's like, I'm,
I will say that, like, that they sign a confidentiality agreement. Much like Trump. Trump had everybody sign a confidentiality. Yeah. He, like, knows. Things are going to go off the hook here.
I have people that, like, if they come with me on the tour bus for the weekend.
Right.
Like, another.
They're signing something.
They have to sign.
Yeah. Right.
But if you, like, someone that comes to clean my house. You can't be asking people to sign an NDA for that.
I think Trump does.
That's like Drake does.
He does
if,
do
yeah,
that?
Drake, if you come over to Drake's house, you got to put your keys in the basket and sign an NDA to go into his house.
When we come back.
We need to get on that level.
Drake.
Me and you.
Me and you.
Yeah, we need to get on that level.
I don't see it happening.
If I'm John Chris Enterprises, that's what I got to do.
And you can hire.
I got to hire. Yeah, John Chris Enterprises.
John Chris Entertainment barely making it.
Yeah, not. He, no
Enterprises,
NDAs.
Too big. You can't even know everybody.
Hug. If you give me a hug, NDA, you got to sign it. Dude.
Back in a moment.
Hey, excuse me, was your ex by any chance a 4-count chicken nugget meal? Because I can tell that you were never satisfied.
Yeah, what's up, girl? Ladies call me Chick-fil-A because I will always satisfy you, and I was founded on Christian principles.
Girl, me and you were made for each other, like a homeschool van in a Chick-fil-A parking lot.
Excuse me, are you Chick-fil-A sauce? Because you're my first choice.
Girl, you treat me wrong, and I'm a chicken biscuit after 10:30. Not available.
Sup? You want a strip?
Chicken strip. I meant chicken strip. Chicken strip.
Hey, girl, listen. I know a lot of guys are, like, lining up to date you, but honestly, I'm like a Chick-fil-A mobile order. I can skip the line.
You can't spell love without I and you. Oh, wait, you can? Oh, okay. Well, I'm a Chick-fil-A cow, okay? I can't spell. Girl, you can call me a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich wrapper bag because I am still good in the morning. No, because I went home after our date and stayed at my house. Then I came back in the morning. We went on a second date and it was still fun. That's what I meant. Yo, what's up, girl? They call me Chick-fil-A chicken soup. Christian and good for the soul.
Oh, sure, yeah, we can go to dinner and a movie, but I got morals, okay? I'm like the Chick-fil-A store hours. Nothing good happens after 10.
This weekend, check out Brian's new show on Fox News Channel.
Because apparently he's cheaper than infomercials for nonstick pans.
That is not true.
Chill out, Gutfeld.
That really hurts.
One Nation with Brian Kilmeade. Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox News Channel. More of Brian coming up.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, Fox News Rewind Financial Crisis 08, a look back at the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression.
The market is not functioning properly.
Subscribe now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
At a White House event, President Biden asked if Representative Jackie Walorski was in the audience, asking, "Where's Jackie?" apparently forgetting she died last month. President Biden on Friday attended a formal ceremony welcoming Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court. Said Biden, "And where's Justice Ginsburg? Ruth, come on up here."
That was pretty funny, right, from SNL?
That's pretty funny, dude. Yeah.
Right. I mean, they had some moments, but they just refused to do the other side. John Christ is with us here.
I like when the press secretary tried to explain away that one. Right. That's my favorite. It's like, we should just play those as stand-up.
And you don't have to say anything.
That is unbelievable humor.
And what he said essentially was, well, you have to understand, the president had her on top of
just
mind.
Just unreal.
Because everybody knows he screwed up. Everybody knows that, like, he forgot she was dead.
Hey, you're right. You just refusal to just the doubling down is just.
And evidently, even the Washington Post was asking her, listen, we all know you're not telling the truth.
Fine.
Like, I don't even want to do this, but you're making me ask you a tough question.
That's like someone's like, hey, should we get like the booster? You're like, yeah, you should get it. You're like, still.
Well, yeah.
Someone just say like, hey, we might have.
How about this? The Coast Guard guy gets praise from the President of the United States. Like, he went out there in the middle of a hurricane, 14-foot waves, and he saved countless people. He's a great man. It turns out he's being fired next week for not getting the vaccine. So he gets called.
That's true.
That's totally true. Next week, he will get the vaccine.
Done.
This stud that is a hero, should be wearing a cape, is getting fired for their vaccine. And by the way, the guy that back when I confronted Admiral Kirby. Kirby was in quarantine.
Yeah.
He's got four shots. He got the virus. And he's firing this guy who's saving people in a hurricane.
Does anybody know how a vaccine works?
I just want you to hear this, and I want to get your reaction.
I'm ready.
Joe Biden's got a problem trying to relate every story to and makes up things to make it more relatable. Tell me if you hear this.
Oh, no.
And so I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically.
So he's in Puerto Rico trying to relate to them.
He was
raised in Delaware, where he says there was a disproportionate amount of Puerto Ricans. They looked it up. There was absolutely no Puerto Ricans.
Don't say anything. I was right.
Have you ever met someone who had to put himself in the center of every story?
If someone from the right did that, they would be canceled. I was raised Puerto Rican.
Wow, that was John Crist. I love that guy. In fact, he wrote me a message. He watched one of my shows, America Great from the Start, which is going to be streaming on December 2nd on Fox Nation. And he gave me some notes of different ways they could start the show and different things to include. And he did not have to do that. On a Sunday afternoon, calls me, knows that I'm going to have a show that night. So that's what a great guy he is. And he'll be back in studio, back on TV. Don't forget, watch One Nation Saturdays at 8 o'clock, repeat it again at 11. And make it a great Black Friday, everybody.
Hey, it's Will Kane, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Join me as I share my thoughts on a wide range of topics, from sports and pop culture to politics and business.
The Will Kane Podcast. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Hi, everyone. Brian Kilmeade. Thanks so much for listening on this Thanksgiving, the Brian Kilmeade Show. With me this hour is going to be one of the funniest comedians out there. You've seen him all over Gutfeld, Jamie Lissau. So he came in and visited a couple of times. It was so good. Eric said, I'm going to make this the best of. So let's roll it. Jamie Lissau.
Alaska is a weird place. We get some times of the year, it will be only 1 hour of daylight for the entire day. And some people don't like that. And I go, dude, that's my favorite. It's my favorite time of the year. I just feel so like productive. You know, I'm like, man, what I do today, I did stuff all day today. Yeah, from sun up to sundown. Yeah, I was working till the wee hours of the afternoon all day today, just doing it, getting stuff done.
And that is Jamie Lissau. Is that the way you pronounce your name?
Yeah, I say Lissau. A lot of people say Lissau.
Oh, I should say it right,
Lissau. Including Gutfeld. Yeah, maybe I've been saying it wrong.
Right. I never thought about it. I never thought you'd take the blame. Jamie, great to see you. That was you doing stand-up, and people see you all over Gutfeld now. Now, Gutfeld show was, I loved it when it was Red Eye.
Same.
Right. Were you on it when it was
I did Red Eye like 40 times.
So describe the difference from when you did Red Eye with Gutfeld as Jamie Lissau.
Yes.
As opposed to what he calls you Lissau.
Uh-huh.
Right? And as opposed to this show.
The biggest difference, Brian, is that people are watching the new show. But it's kind of funny, though, man, because I did Red Eye so many times. I met Gutfeld. They did an audition at Gotham Comedy Club in New York to find comedians that would go on Red Eye. And I did a set, and I was like, okay.
Was he there?
Gutfeld was there. I didn't know him at the time. And I did my set, and then afterwards there was like a bar next door. And he came up to me, and he goes, dude, he's like, I don't know if he even remembers this, but he goes, people keep coming up to me saying, good set. They thought we were dressed exactly alike. We both had glasses on and these like blazer things. And that's how we met, was that people were telling him he was funny, which was like a compliment for me. You know, so I guess I did okay. And then I did that show. I went on to, you know, we became good friends, and I probably did it like 40 times.
But I remember Red Eye used to beat Anderson Cooper. Seriously. I mean, their ratings were really good.
It got crazy.
Right, it got crazy.
Yeah.
And because no one really knew what you were doing, though.
Right.
I mean, that stuff was really racy.
It was the Wild West.
Right.
It was amazing. But it wouldn't, It was the most fun, but I'll tell you, as a comedian, it really got me used to cameras. Giant cameras used to freak me out. Red eye 40 times. It's like, it's just easy. You know how it is with your own show. Like, all of a sudden, you almost love the camera. You start to play with, like, you become more comfortable. And so Red Eye really did that for me. And then, but it didn't make an impact. Certain things don't impact the comedy club audience. It's very strange. Like, that was a great show. I have a Netflix series. I'm in two seasons of a Netflix original show, and people watch
what?
It. It's called Real Rob with Rob Schneider.
All right.
But it's not like I go to comedy clubs and some people will come, but it's not like filling up because of the Netflix show. You never know what will do that. Gutfeld will do that.
Wow.
So I came back, my like resurgence with Gutfeld was like 6 months ago, and I did one spot one night. It was great. Flew in from Alaska, and that weekend I was opening for Rob Schneider. And after the show, this guy comes up and he goes, "Oh, dude, I came because you mentioned you were going to be here on Gutfeld." I'm like, "You did?" And then soon there was a line of people, and like 50 people paid like $40. I'm the opener. I'm doing 15 minutes to come see me open for a guy.
Right.
And I was like, "This is interesting." And then we just, you know, I started being out every 2 weeks, then every week, and now. Dude, Brian, it's I've been doing comedy for 25 years. I did The Tonight Show in 2001.
You did.
That's how old I am.
So who was host? Leno?
Leno.
All right.
But it's been a long time.
Yeah.
Of pretty mediocre, like, I did okay.
Did you kill on The Tonight Show? Did you?
Best set I've ever had.
Right.
In my whole life.
And the next day wasn't that transformational?
It was just a Wednesday.
That was it?
It wasn't.
Really? That blows me away.
Dude, you have to, I don't know if you've ever heard, I love Steve Martin. In his book, he sort of describes how I thought, oh, I came in on the school where The Tonight Show didn't impact it like it used to, where you would just do once. And he said he did Carson like 20 times before he started filling up. Even for him, it like took a minute. Like, it depends.
He was filling out arenas.
Yeah, then it got crazy.
Right.
But yeah, man, the Gutfeld thing's been amazing. And then when you do, I've been doing comedy for 25 years. Like, I worked like really hard at it, even when no one knows who I am. And so now I have people. I was in St. Louis last weekend.
Right.
I didn't know if that was going to be a Gutfeld audience. Sold out 4 or 5 shows. They all already know.
By the way, we have a huge station, KFTK, St. Louis. So we're national. And that was probably it's one of our most coveted affiliates. They are really into Fox and obviously.
Man, I did the Funny Bone in St. Charles. What a town. What supportive people. And then you're doing comedy and people already know. They already know I'm divorced because Greg makes fun of me all the time. And so it's almost like stand-up comedy is harder than being funny with your friends because there's no context. Like, all the jokes with your friends are because we all know what happened last year and this guy's a drunk. And going on stage when they know you from Gutfeld is like that, as opposed to building something from scratch. Like, they all already know. Dude, it's totally different,
right? So when people come in the audience, for example, if they come to watch Gutfeld, they actually got tickets, even though it's free, and they took time out and they came to Manhattan, they waited 2 hours. So they're going to be they're cheering for you.
Yes.
As opposed to you go to Gotham Comedy Club with Chris Mazzilli, and you walk in there, and you're not famous yet.
Yep.
And those people said, I paid my money, you better make me laugh. It's so dramatically different.
100%.
Right.
Sometimes I feel like in New York, you got to earn it.
Right.
Like, you really got to earn it.
You're from Alaska. Do you have any idea what New York was like when you got here?
So I grew up in Rochester, New York.
Oh.
Barely made it to the city, though. We were always told it was dangerous and scary. We were kind of poor. We never, like, made trips down here. And so I was pretty familiar.
By the way, the criminals always go for the poor.
Yeah, you can have my wallet. Put something in it.
Right. So it'll be great. So Rochester, by the way, I spent a lot of time researching Frederick Douglass.
Oh, is that right?
Do you know he's all over Rochester? You
know, I do know that.
Did that matter to the people of Rochester?
I would say it didn't matter as much as like George Eastman.
George Eastman,
the Kodak.
Oh, Eastman Kodak.
That was the big.
Right.
Because I don't know anything about. I'll be honest with you. The only reason we all know George Eastman is because he just did a lot of stuff. There's like a lot of stuff around, and they go, "Oh, George Eastman did that." You know, like a little museum or a. You know, his house is now you can walk in and look around and stuff.
You know, it's pretty amazing, and this may not be funny, but I think it's noteworthy. So
that's my whole act, by the way. Right. That's why I say when nobody laughs.
It might not be funny, but it's noteworthy.
That was noteworthy, though, right, guys?
I learned a lot from him. somewhat of a seminar. Not as many laughs as any other comedians.
Yeah, I just tell him it's a TED Talk if it's not going good.
Right, so my daughter, who's 19, she goes, I can't wait. I go, what? She goes, I took pictures on a disposable camera, And I waited a month. I forgot what pictures they were. I can't wait to get them back and find out. I go, what are you talking about? I go, she goes, it's going to be great. So like me and my friends, like, when are you going to develop those pictures? I go, wait, you're acting like this is an event? She had no idea. The first time she ever went to a place to get pictures dropped off. Now, number one, I should expose her to other things. It's bad parenting a little bit. I'm exposing myself. But number two is their focus on like the surprise of like, I remember that picture as opposed to picking up your phone. That's talk about culture and generational.
In your, they do miss a lot of those fun joy. You ever been to a wedding where they put disposable cameras on every table? What a cool thing.
Right.
That doesn't happen probably anymore because we're all just documenting.
But by the way, how many people did things irresponsible without camera?
Yeah, there's a couple of shots in there that are not family friendly.
So when did you realize your divorce was okay to kid around about?
My ex-wife is the coolest chick. Like, we have a great relationship. And what I loved about her was her sense of humor from the start.
Right.
And her parents were gigantic Fox News and Gutfeld fans. When I started doing Red Eye, they couldn't believe
even
that
though
I was
you were
on
divorced.
Fox News. Yeah, so that I'm sorry, I'm a terrible storyteller for being a comedian, but that was noteworthy, right?
Yes, it was.
So like when I first met her, and like I was meeting her parents and trying to impress them. Being on Fox News was huge. It scored like all these points because they are such fans of Gutfeld and Fox News. And then so fast forward, we get divorced. She totally gets it. Like, she gets comedy, and she has a great sense of humor. And so it was like, do whatever you want right out of the gate. But I will tell you, that clip they played, which makes me cringe hearing my own voice.
Right.
Any clip would have made me cringe. It's not a producer's fault. I just can't listen to my own comedy.
So don't take it personal.
But Allison, that clip is from this thing called Dry Bar Comedy. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
So what happens is they call you up and go like, would you like to do a dry bar special? And you go, sure. And then they fly up and they pay a little bit of money and you do a half hour special in Salt Lake City where the entire audience or high 90% is Mormons. And the only requirements are you have to be so clean. And I don't mean like, of course, no F words. Right. I mean, you can't say the other butt word. The A word for, like, you couldn't possibly say that. They told me not to mention I was divorced. They felt like that wouldn't be good either. You certainly can't say, oh, my God, I can't believe. Can't say, oh, my God. Like, I mean, this is some real. So I, and that's not me, really.
Did you know this? Did you know the rules before you got up there?
I did, and I thought about not doing it. A couple times I go, I don't know if this is for me. And the guy goes, it's fine. It'll be a challenge, and it'll be great. And I go, okay. So I get there, Kilmeade, and they go, I do it. And they're helping you by telling you, you can do whatever you want up there. But they're kind of going, it's going to really get our crowd if you do it this way. You can do whatever you want. We'll bleep it out. We won't show. But like, we're telling you, if you do it this way, you'll do good. And the crowd is amazing. And then afterwards, we're on a conference call and they release your special. It goes on Amazon. And they go, what do you want to call it? And I go, and I'm on a conference call with like 9 people. And I go, what if we call it Jamie Lissow Tries Not to Say the F Word? And they go, no, we can't. You can't say that. And I go, okay. And I go, what about if we call it, is it Mormon here or is it just me? And they go, no, we can't. Yeah. We can't call it that. So they end up calling it something, whatever. It's called like something awesome.
Jamie on stage.
It's on. Yeah, it's just they picked a thing. But what's funny is sometimes, like I was walking through a mall last weekend, true story, with another comedian friend of mine, Josh Need, and we're walking. This couple comes up and they go, we can't believe you guys are in this mall. And I go, it's got to be Gutfeld, right? They must know me from Gutfeld. And I go, oh, where do you know us from? They go, Dry Bar. And me and my friend both have like big dry. And they go, what are you doing here? We go, oh, we had a show tonight. They go, this is amazing. You don't know how, this is crazy. We're walking through the mall. We see two of our favorite Dry Bar comics. The craziest thing ever. They came to the show. My friend was opening. I was closing. He was doing 30 minutes. They left within 3 minutes because they think that our acts are this crazy clean Mormon thing, but they're not. That was just for that one night. And my friend's Joe, he's very clean, but he did some
not
joke
clean
about. Yeah, he did joke about like, I swear it wasn't dirty. Like it was like he was looking at an ultrasound, and the baby's legs were open, and he's like, oh, I hope it's a boy. I don't want it to be, you know, some kind of. That was it. And they got up and walked out, and they left.
Well, I know Ainsley was one of the panelists. I don't know if you were there. Ainsley Earhart.
Oh yeah.
Was on Gutfeld. Were you on with her?
I was not.
Well, she brought her 8-year-old or 7-year-old, she lasted like 3 minutes, right? She had to quickly be escorted out by ushers that we didn't have. But so Jamie, we're going to find out if you, in fact, there's Mark Zuckerberg. We should actually play that for you.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to hear that.
He's talking to Joe Rogan. He opens up. I guess he's trying to bond with him, but he says he does mixed martial arts. and he loves wrestling with all his friends.
Okay. I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Wow. And he loves to surf. He's desperately trying to broaden out a little, but he is remarkably intelligent.
Don't you have the feeling that every, like, as he's talking, he's like a robot trying to pretend he's human?
Yes.
Like, I'm a person.
And we'll play that example in just a moment, because Jamie Lissow, Lissow.
Crushed it.
Right, good. Is here, and he is actually going to be on One Nation this weekend if we come to terms with him, because they're even stricter than the drive-by terms. Back in a moment.
Thanks for basting the turkey while listening to the best of Brian Kilmeade. Happy Thanksgiving from all of us at the Brian Kilmeade Show.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Breaking news, unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant. I think it was 5 or 7 days when it was basically being determined whether it was false. The distribution on Facebook was decreased, but people were still allowed to share it. So you could still share it. You could still consume it.
Did they specifically say you need to be on guard about that story?
I don't remember if it was that specifically, but it basically fit the pattern.
Jamie Lissow here. You're hearing this for the first time, Jamie, right?
Yeah.
So what is your take? This is like 2.5 hours in after going over grappling and UFC and Oculus glasses. He comes out and he's talking about the New York Post getting their whole newspaper was brought down. Their account was frozen. If you retweeted it, you were frozen out of Twitter. And this story was suppressed on Facebook. Miranda Devine came on earlier who wrote the book Laptop from Hell. And Jamie, she said that they were the first. And if Facebook didn't take the aggressive action, Twitter wouldn't either. So what do you think about his delivery? Do you believe a word he's saying?
Dude, when I first heard Rogan talking to Zuckerberg, my first thought was, I want to be on Rogan. And then I was able to really listen. And it's hard not to, I'm not kidding, it's hard not to curse almost.
Right.
I want to say, like, this is such bull. Like, it's...
I don't believe anything he's saying. The FBI briefed me generically, and then this came across, and I was surfing at the time, and I just said, well, why don't we just sync it? By the way, really? I thought the algorithm was supposed to be pure, where if there's a popular story, it becomes number one.
Right.
No, I'm going to sync it and make it hard, and both sides were mad at me. Believe me, the Democrats were not mad at you.
Oh, absolutely. And doesn't it sound like he's kind of making up some... There comes a moment where I go, I think he's trying to say whatever he... Like, I think he's in his head.
Right.
And he's analyzing every word he's saying to not get in trouble. There's a moment where I feel that. Like, whenever I hear Zuckerberg talk, I feel like he's just, like, 1,000,000% trying... Like, he's got... During this interview, he took a break and plugged himself in for a half hour.
I needed to recharge.
There's this moment where... Dude, Rogan is... I feel like that's why Rogan's so good, because he gets him comfortable.
Right.
He gets him in there for 3 hours, and that's why we get these admissions.
Are you comfortable now?
Yeah, I feel
okay, good. Thank you.
I feel comfortable.
Hey, Eric, can you play the other Rogan cut?
Okay.
Is there regret for not having it evenly distributed and for throttling the distribution of that story?
What do you mean evenly distributed?
I mean evenly in that it's not suppressed.
I mean it sucks.
All forgiven. It sucks. It sucks that a crack-addicted son was doing international business deals with his dad benefiting prohibitively. It's not a matter of George W. Bush getting a DWI, what he did when he was 20,
right,
which really affected the election against Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
This is different. This really affects who you vote for, because it's going to affect how we deal with our adversaries.
And you just said it. It's not. I hear some folks go like, well, it's his son. What does it have to do with him? Well, take away all that. What about the fact that there's the big guy fought? You know, he's benefiting from some of these things.
Right.
That's the connection, right? So you can't do that.
But out of all the sons that could drop off their laptop in a repair shop, what are the odds? What do you think it was like in the Biden house? And they go, excuse me, where's your laptop?
Can you
I don't know.
Did you know he took it to a place called You Break It, We Leak It? Which,
I did not know that.
Yeah. And at first they couldn't get it open because it was stuck shut. But then they,
we don't know why.
He likes candy. He's a big fan of candy. And why, if you're the president's son, don't you have, and he's supposed to be the young guy. I could see if like, I'm an older guy, I make a mistake. I don't know that you can get things off of a laptop. Of all the, he's like the young guy. Shouldn't he know that this is a horrible mistake?
Right.
Don't you got a guy?
Well, how about this? He writes a book, goes on a book tour, and doesn't have an answer to the question, was that your laptop? He goes, I don't know. I don't know.
You gotta plan that one. Yeah,
don't beach me if that's my laptop with me with hooker smoking crack.
Dude, this guy.
But I'm still going to write a book.
My guy, I blame Biden a little bit because I heard when he paid him his allowance, he would roll up the dollar bills like cocaine straws.
Again,
which,
that's a great point. That's your research. That's your research.
I do deep dives.
Jamie will be on One Nation.
Radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
To a rolling left with the grain, and down he goes. Slung down at his own 48-yard line, Josh Tupu. And, well, we saw last week, and he went down, he got up, was wobbly. The training staff comes out. And, of course, the last thing the Dolphins wanted to see. I mean, last week it looked for all the world. Everybody thought head injury, concussion, passed the protocol, came back second half, led him to a victory.
And Al Tupou slams him to the ground.
So what happened is who's basically just having a career year. Everyone said that he's overrated. They never should have drafted him. The other coach got fired because he didn't want to use him. And now he's having this great start. Well, last Sunday, he got hit so hard, he walked, and then he fell almost flat on his face. Then he got up again and almost fell. He stayed in the game. He'd gone out of the game. He stayed in the game, would finish it off, and they'd win. He said, well, I had a bruised back. Well, after this hit, he almost looked like he was paralyzed.
Yeah.
And Jamie Glissow is here. And Jamie, this was on Amazon. So a lot of people figured to themselves, okay, I've got to figure out how to work this. But now we're missing Thursday Night Football. A lot of people are, how do you do this? You know, your smart TV is confusing to some. What's your reaction to this?
Yeah, I can barely watch the video. I feel like as a 40-year-old man, I feel like I just turned 47 years ago. But I feel like I feel like he needs people looking out for him, because if you're in your 20s and someone says you get out there and play, I think he's going to play. Like, I don't know if he knows. I think we needed the NFL neurologist to say, like, take a break. It's just, it's horrifying for me to watch. I think it's terrible that he's there. It's beyond, it's just football.
Like, so here's the thing. There is a concussion protocol over what's happened over the last 10 years with head injuries and the suicides that took place. There's plaque that builds up in the brain after a series of hits. It's like a nonstop car accident. So when you get a concussion, you can't touch. You're out. You have no choice. Right. It's not up to you. And it looks like Miami bypassed the protocol twice. So, I mean, to put him back in the game on Thursday and leave him in the game on Sunday, this is a team that's already being sanctioned by making a move to get Tom Brady. Evidently, there was this ring thing in place you never thought was true. To get Brady from the Bucs, make him a part owner, but let him finish out his career in the Dolphins. Really? He had a team. That's called tampering.
Right.
So they're being fined, and he almost got suspended. And now you have this happening, and they had another coach accuse him of racism. For firing him because he's black, which is Brian Flores. You know about that. So now you have this on top of that. So Miami can't do it. Always seems to be getting itself in trouble.
Yeah. You know, I feel bad for the backup quarterback. He's like, you guys, could I play? And they're like, nah, we're going to risk this guy's life. That's how much,
this is how much better this guy is than you. He's got a brain injury, and we'd still rather go with him.
Yeah.
We're going to stay with him.
Yeah, but you guys, my head feels fine. I could get in there. They're like, nah, we're going
to. And Teddy Bridgewater did go in, and they did lose 27-15. So to the Cincinnati Bengals, who won again. So Jamie's here. Jamie's going to be doing Gutfeld. You did Gutfeld last night.
Yeah.
And then you're going to, you did Omaha. Now you're going to go to?
I'm going to Foxwoods this weekend with Greg Gutfeld on October 1st.
Yeah, Foxwoods. And you've never worked with Greg on stage, have you?
I have not.
So what do you don't even know what he wants you to do?
I don't. I just said, comedy's been hard for me, so when someone offers me a gig, I just have an auto reply that says I'll take it. And so I don't know what this gig entails. I think I'll just be doing an opening set,
right?
And then I know we're doing some kind of fun meet and greet. And I saw a video of the last show.
Are you
show
afraid
he did.
Of him or something? Like, why wouldn't you ask? Why wouldn't you say, "Well, what do you want me to do?" Like, does he put fear in you?
No, I don't want to ask a lot of questions. I'm a terrible like negotiator. Just everything. I go, yeah, I'll do. It's my birthday, and I was supposed to be in Des Moines, Iowa. Which, nothing against Des Moines. Do you think, as you get older, I feel like guys will go, ah, it's a birthday, who cares? I think we care a tiny bit.
So that
I think
saying.
We care a tiny bit. And so, like, I think I'm so excited to be with Greg on my birthday. I was just like, I'm in, let's do it. And so, but I should follow up because it's tomorrow.
Right.
Again,
I'm not your manager.
Yeah.
But with the follow-up question is, what do you want me to do? I don't think it's
right.
There's no arrogance there. I think people would say, necessary.
Yeah, I should have followed up with a question.
Right. We'll play this back and maybe you can learn from it. So on the 13th, is you going to take off for 2 weeks after that? It's a 2-week celebration for your birthday?
So my next gig is on the 13th. I don't know.
Well, you're going to do Wise Guys in Salt Lake City?
Yeah, but I'm trying to figure out what am I doing that week in between. I am taking that. Yeah, I'm going to see my kids
for
1 week.
All right. You just realized that?
Yes, I just realized that.
And they're in Alaska.
They're in Alaska. And so, yes, October 13th, I'm at the Wise Guys in Salt Lake City. And I believe October 15th is this place called CB Live in Phoenix, Arizona. Both of them, I think, big Fox markets is what I'm hearing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Phoenix and Salt Lake City will be huge. In fact, Ainsley was just there for her book. Right there, the children's book that you wanted to write, that you kind of stole your idea.
Oh.
So glad you were born. And she was just in Salt Lake City. They sold out right away.
Wow.
Right. And all she has to do is show up and talk. You have to actually be funny.
Yeah. This is so cool. My my parents actually collaborated on a book called I Wish You Weren't Born.
So you are going to sue
different.
Her then.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's a different theme. It kind of ends sad. We all cry at the end.
Yeah.
Well, that would be very interesting if Ainsley and you were ever on the same panel, because I would still use that joke. I would ask Greg. I would love to do it with Ainsley just for that joke.
Yeah, the whole book is them, my parents not following their dreams.
And having you ruin them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they had big dreams, and then you were born.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not telling you what to do. It's your dream. October 15th at CB Live in Phoenix, Arizona, on the 20th to 22nd in Jacksonville, Florida. They love Fox in Jacksonville.
Oh, awesome. That's a cool club.
Where are you in Jacksonville?
It's called the Comedy Zone.
Where is that?
It's in, all I know is
I know that area.
I don't know if you remember, but I don't ask follow-up questions.
I know, when that's I get gigs. True. November 3rd, Levity Live in West Nyack. And then, wow, you're going to work right up to Election Day. Are you going to work on Election Day coverage?
I better be asked to do something.
You and Hammer at the board.
Yeah.
And then you go to the Funny Bone November 4th and 5th. And over 10th to 13th, you're going to be off the hook in Naples, Florida. Let's hope they're better by now.
Yeah, I just talked to someone over there because I was just worried. And he said the venue's okay, but it's a disaster area.
Yeah. I mean, that's the richest area in the country. So they obviously people have wherewithal to get. And they also can afford the insurance.
Yeah.
It's so interesting because I have a house in Florida. And every time I call the insurance, one of the options is, if you're here to complain about the rise in insurance rates, hit a number.
Wow.
I'm going, wow, because I just got them. I didn't know they were ever low. I just thought they were astronomically high. But that they must have had to double them or triple them.
Wow.
So now, I mean,
that's some self-awareness that they have a press this button to complain about.
Right. We know you're not going to be happy. I mean, basically, go ahead, yell. I mean, they're not going to negotiate with you. It's probably more of a site. Do you think it's more of a therapist on the other end?
It might be. I heard if you call the Dolphins, they go, press six if you got a concussion and we put you in by mistake.
Right. And that
it's
would
right
be this
there.
One guy.
That's how often.
Right. We'll see how he is. This guy could be done for the season.
I know. It's really tragic.
What's interesting, you chose that. I gave you a couple options on news stories. You chose that. And then you go, but I'm not a sports fan.
Yeah, I don't get involved with sports until something like this happens. I just feel like there's a, what do I know? But I just think at certain points in our life when we're in our 20s or 30s, I think we sometimes put too much of a priority on things we don't realize football might not mean anything to this guy in 10 years. Like,
right.
Like my favorite UFC fighters, they quit in their prime to become announcers or actors.
Absolutely.
And it's really hard because they're crushing it. They're making money. And it takes a special kind of person, I think, to look at the big view and go, I want to have kids and I don't want it to mess up my life.
But That's a good. I mean, physically, you want to have, you want to survive.
Right.
Here's what I would say: you can't be a champion for a long time in the UFC because everybody's lethal weapon.
Right.
I mean, you could only win so many duels, and you could be the most skilled guy in the world or woman. And because I did the first four, and I used to do it when there were no rounds. And yeah. I didn't fight in it. I did the easy part. I announced it and did the post game, and you could see all these lethal weapons matching wits. And different ways to not beat you, to knock you out so you don't try to hit them back.
Yeah.
Because you will get knocked out by them. So to me, that is a situation where get in, get out.
Completely. Do you remember those first UFCs where they would, there were no rules. You could like punch someone in the private parts. That was a move.
There.
You were there?
No eye gouging. You get knocked out or choked out. It's the only way to end it.
It was like, wasn't it Gracie crushing it? Remember they didn't understand. It wasn't Henzo. It was Hoist. Remember, like, they didn't understand at first, like, what an armbar was? And so a guy would, like, be punching Hoist, and they would go, oh, he's got his arm tied up or something. He's like, he won! Like, no one understood about the armbar. They didn't understand.
Oh, yeah. What happened is he weighed 165 pounds. All these other guys were monsters. Ken Shamrock, 230, solid muscle, cut out of stone. And within 90 seconds, they'd be on the ground.
Yeah.
And also, the one thing about the jiu-jitsu guys, the way the Gracies did, they take a lot of blows. Like, you could be punching him in the face and and you could be on your back if you're and you're winning.
Yep.
Right.
Yep. All it takes is,
right. So, Jamie, a lot of times if I see you in a fight and you're getting punched in the face, are you winning?
Yeah,
or
just
no?
Assume that I'm about to pull something off. Yeah, I'm always winning.
Don't even help you. Right? Don't even. Jamie's in trouble. No. Yeah. He's got him right.
That guy's about to tap.
Right. So you watch people do armbars. You never said to yourself, I want to do that.
I did. I went to Henzo Gracie as a place in New York City, and I did go there for a couple of years. Yeah, I never got like, never advanced in my belts and stuff. I think I got like a blue belt, but what a fun.
Is it fun?
I loved it so much. I feel like it's. You know when you have to exercise when you're older and everything seems like a chore?
Yeah.
Like you're like, I'm going to the gym. It was the most fun, like rolling, doing jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu was like so much fun. It's just like time would fly by. And you're sort of fighting for your life, right? Like you don't want to get like choked out. So it's like this cardio, but it's also like this survival thing. And I absolutely loved it.
You know what's interesting is that Zuckerberg went on with Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
And he does jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
And he just loves it and all his friends do it.
Wow.
Would you think differently? Do you think differently of him now?
I don't think I believe he has friends, but I I think that's cool. Whenever I hear someone does jiu-jitsu, I wrestled in high school. Did you do any high school sports?
Did soccer right through college.
Okay. Whenever I run into someone that like wrestled in high school or did jiu-jitsu, I feel like there's a weird bond there because there were so many hard things about like making weight and like the battle and competitiveness. I always get along with everybody.
But
so
here's the thing.
For Zuckerberg.
You feel like there's a bond, but do they?
Like, I will.
Like, do they, like, do you go, hey, you wrestled and you put it out there and do they respond and say there's a bond? Because I'm worried that you think there's a bond.
I'm forcing it. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Because you're the same guy with no follow-up questions.
That's
when Greg
a really
says,
good point.
Would you want to go to Foxwoods? So, I mean, how am I supposed to trust your instincts on this bonding with sports?
That's a good point. Do you ever notice that UFC, I saw a UFC fight last night. I was just watching like a replay of one. Sometimes after they fight, they try to fight each other. Have you ever seen that? They go, get over, I'll fight this guy.
How do you stop a fight?
You're like, you guys just fought for 50. But then, you lost.
Right.
You can't fight the guy now.
That's, you know, Holyfield had the best response when they said, you know, he bit your ear. And he goes, yeah, he's mad at me, but we're already in a fight. And like, I laughed out loud. You know, and I'm like, we're already in a fight. What else do you want?
That's amazing.
You know, it's not like we're at the library.
Right.
And things got out of control. So we were talking about, we both have a passion for late night TV, especially you. It used to be the place where comedians made it.
Yeah.
I was talking to another comedian, John Chris, last week, and he said a friend of his went up on Tonight Show. His ticket sales didn't budge.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that you got to do it on your own. You do it on YouTube. You do it. Things have certainly changed. So one of the places that wasn't doing stand-up, I know, but one of the places where you really arrived is if you were in Jon Stewart with The Daily Show.
Yep.
That was totally different with Trevor Noah. Here's Trevor Noah making the announcement last night after 7 years. Cut 33.
Everything we've gone through, you know, the Trump presidency, the pandemic, just the journey of, you know, the more pandemic. and I realized that after the 7 years, my time is up. But in the most beautiful way.
He's
honestly.
Done.
What do you think? What's going on?
I thought he was terrible. I mean, just terrible. It's tough following Jon Stewart, who doesn't like me and hates his network, but he uses his network. But he was creative, funny. I mean, I looked at that way he found sound and did stuff. I'm like, these great writers, great performance, point of view, place to go. Even though, you know, he does not have positive views of anybody in this channel, maybe outside Bill O'Reilly, who seemed to like a little bit, and Judge Napolitano. But I could appreciate him. I looked at Trevor Noah. I never thought his jokes were clever. They're like Mack trucks coming down the street, and we know he doesn't like Trump. And during the pandemic, it was unwatchable.
It was. Absolutely. But he sells out arenas. Sells out arenas. Why do you think he's leaving? Because I don't know I think if he was number one, would he be leaving The Daily Show? If people were watching that show, do you think that's part of it?
I mean, you realize he's not going anywhere and they can't fire. They have trouble firing a minority right now for a prime position. I don't know. The other thing is he's got this thriving stand-up.
Yeah.
I mean, I was told you, I was walking by the Weirdly Magic Play. I don't know what they call it now. It used to be the Amway Center. Maybe it is. And his name was in headlights. I go, who's he performing with? Himself. It sells out.
That's wild.
So I don't know if they cover half the seats, but even 10,000, that's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, unbelievable. I do, not to brag, but a lot of my shows are standing room only if we remove enough chairs.
Right. I did not know that.
Uh-huh.
See, again, and you're not bragging. It doesn't come off.
No. Just reporting the facts.
Right. But again, as yourself. And the other thing I'm admiring about, you talked about what you were watching on television. You have total control of what you watch on television.
Right? Yes.
What is that like?
You mean
to know that you could put on sports? You could actually keep the TV off. What is that like, controlling the TV?
Because you can't control the TV because of a lady?
Right. I will come in and be like, really? Watching the news again? Well, yeah, I'm hoping to make sense tomorrow.
Right.
Right. So every time it's like, no sports. Really? You don't want to see me happy at all.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Aaron Judge is going for 61, and I care why. This is the give and take if you live with somebody.
I tell people all the time, because I recently got divorced, and people go like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I go, no. Oh no! There's a lot of good. Like,
I'm not saying I'm not. I'm happy. I don't want any start.
Of course.
Because this is on WABC. Almost everybody I know listens. I'm a very happy marriage. I just have no control of this.
Stay married. I think it's a wonderful thing. But say somebody runs into a situation like mine where you find yourself getting divorced. That's not ideal, but that's what happens. I always try to make them feel better because I go, dude, like, there's. Wait till you see what happens. Like last night, I wanted pizza for dinner and I just ordered it.
You ordered it.
That's the whole story.
You don't need any more.
No one told me I was a piece of crap or anything. I had pizza the night before. Yeah. But isn't it interesting how I don't remember the last time I went to a hotel and turned on the TV. Can't remember. Like, I don't think I've ever. Definitely 10 years or something.
That saddens me.
Does it?
Because I'm on TV.
Oh, but I watch.
Fox.
Yeah, on my
phone.
I dial it up on my computer. I do my YouTube.
Save.
We get to pick whatever we want. You know, like, I don't do, like, the let's see what's on or whatever.
Hey, Josh, did you give him the same rap you gave me?
What was that?
Oh, okay. Because he told me. Well, I just thought you were ignoring it.
A whole lot to be thankful for. Family, friends, and the best of Brian Kilmeade. Happy Thanksgiving from the Brian Kilmeade Show. The more you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
He is a riot, and he's a great writer, too. Just quick note, on December 2nd, I'm going to be at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center. I want you to all join me there. A few tickets left, BrianKilmeade.com. I think I'm going to be joined by WABC legends, at least he said it, Sid Rosenberg, but I know it's Friday night's his date night, and also Frank Morano. And I feel bad because Frank's going to be up all night, but he says he's going to come by. So hopefully everyone will see. I'll be able to see you out there. It's going to be like no other. If you like this show, if you like history, if you love the country, you will love us seeing us on stage. Also, Pat O'Rourke, the outstanding comedian, will open all things up. Brian Kilmeade Show, happy Thanksgiving.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.